questions to put down an answer to, just about five little questions. Later on in the study, we'll look at the answers, but for right now, get you a piece of paper and some pencil and have it ready for when I give you little questions. Last week, we spoke at some length about eagles, and this week, I want to talk about eagles again. I want to talk about eagle saints. You'll recall last week, we spoke about the eagles heading into the storm and catching those thermal updrafts, rising up higher and higher until he had reached the height of the storm cloud, the thunderhead, how he got up into the atmosphere where the storm was below him and the sunshine of the glory of the day was beaming. And there he rested with his great 7-foot wingspread or more, and he literally rode those thermal updrafts of air. And he only flaps his wings now and then to keep himself going, but he rests up there on the wind. And we spoke about this in relation to a Christian. You know, the Bible gives us the picture of the life of an eagle as the picture of the Christian. All the promises to us, to God, are paralleled with eagles. Now, the little questions that I'm going to ask you, I want you to answer each one true or false. And a very, very simple little thing. And everybody write down your answer. Nobody looking at anybody else. It is kind of fun. Later on, we'll look at the answers and check them out after I've had a chance to talk with you a little while. The first question that I want you to write down, number one, just write down true or false. All Christians need to be closer to God. True or false? All Christians need to be closer to God. Number two, it is easier to sin than to do acts of righteousness for a Christian. Number two, it's easier for a Christian to sin than to do acts of righteousness. Number three, Christians are not dead to sin. True or false, Christians are not dead to sin. Number four, you can sin and not know it. True or false, you can sin and not know it. And the last question I want to ask you, when I sin, I disappoint God. True or false? True or false? Now, later on, we'll come back and have a look at these little questions. I'd like for you to consider eagles for a few minutes, though. There's so much to consider. You know, an eagle has always been used as the symbol of freedom and of power. Freedom and power. Our national emblem symbol is the eagle. If you'll remember, the German nation, particularly during the Second World War, used the symbol of the eagle. It was denoting strength and power, conquering power. So, and I see them back there whispering. They're sharing answers right now. And I'm just as bad as any school teacher. Everybody on your own now. None of that. All right. Just tuck your answer away. Don't let anybody look at your answers now. I'm going to be pointing fingers in just a minute. Don't let anybody look at your answers now, because you don't want anybody to copy off of you or to know what you answered. So we're going to look at eagles tonight as the symbol of freedom and of power. Freedom and power. You know, the scripture says you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, we have been called as saints of God, and that's the name God has given us. He has called us saints. We aren't called to be saints. We are called saints.
Amen.
Just saints. That's what we are. And you didn't know that you'd been a saint all this time. You've been a saint ever since you've been born again, since you've declared that Jesus is Lord. The scripture said you are a saint. And the scripture says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I heard a man give a message one time. He said, if the prison door is open, how come you're still in jail? Nice title, huh?
Glory.
If the prison doors are open, how come you're still in jail? So, freedom and power. Remember I told you last week we talked about the old eagle and about how he rode those thermal updrafts. An eagle has great strength in its wings. Now, he's very clumsy on the ground, but you get him up in the air and he is something to reckon with. I wrote down a few things about eagles that I thought was very interesting. But this business about the thermal updrafts, you know, when I first heard that, I was so intrigued that here is a creature that God has created that literally rides the wind. You know, the psalmist talks about God walking on the wings of the wind. Well, we just like him. He's our Father. We're just like our Father. And we, as eagle saints, head into the storm of circumstances that confront us. We spread our great big old wings. We ride the thermal updrafts of the Holy Ghost, and we walk on the wings of the wind. Isn't that good? And when the storm comes, it doesn't upset us. We don't go out looking for them, but we know they come along as a natural result of living, and we don't run from them. We head right into them, and the very force of the gale lifts us up higher where the sun is shining and all the storm is down below us. Strength, power, that power. And after all, doesn't Ephesians say that our natural habitat is the heavenlies?
Amen.
That's where we're seated and enthroned in the heavenlies. It's our natural habitat. Also, Scripture talks about him being so strong. You know how the Bible says in Isaiah about 33 someplace, it says that the lame take the prey. The lame take the prey. I mean, even the weakest little old Christian dives down and takes the prey, gets its food, is the master. The Scripture says when we're weak, we're strong. I used to think old Paul went too far when he said that. I found out the boy knew what he's talking about. When I'm weak and I say, Lord, I am spiritually bankrupt. Blessed am I because I am poor in spirit. I don't have anything. It's only then that I can draw on him and his strength can display itself in me. And I say, well, hallelujah, I found another area that I'm weak. Here is where Christ can be strong in me and display his strength. And I heard a girl in Baton Rouge, we having a big meeting one time, and her name is Sandy Wilson, and she said, you know, she says, when the Spirit of God uses you and you do something, it's so easy you thought it was you. Pause carefully and think of that. When the Spirit of God uses you, it was so natural and so easy. The supernatural is our natural habitat, and to us it isn't supernatural, it's just super and just natural, you know. We expect for it to be strange and with, you know, goosebumps and all. It's the natural for us. Strength, power, and freedom belong to the child of God, and they belong to God's creation, the eagle, that gives us a picture of it. Another nice thing to know about an eagle is that it builds its nest in very high, inaccessible places. High, rocky crags or way up in a long, tall tree. Remember last week we talked about Song of Solomon 4, where the bridegroom says to the bride, come up higher. Come up with me from Mount Hermon, away from the lions and the leopards and all the beasts of prey. Come on up higher to your natural habitat. Come on up with me, away from the dangers. Why stay on the earth where you get plowed under? Why stay down there underneath the storm when you were born to be up above it, in the heavenlies, in your natural habitat? This is what God has called us. Come on, shout somebody. I have to do it myself. This is where we belong. This is where we live and move. And God has denoted it so. He has designated us for heavenlies. We have no excuse to drag our tail feathers in the dust. God has called us to ride those thermal updrafts. All right, something else good about those old eagles. They always build their nest near water. Water is always a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Bible.
Glory.
Always near water. That's that river of life that flows out from under the throne of God, the dwelling place of the Most High, that river that springs up in us like an artesian well and gushes out, and it's the power of the Holy Ghost. And every place it goes, it brings life. Oh, our nesting place is right next to water. We go to sleep in our sweet dreams here in the gurgle of the power of the Holy Ghost. Wake up during the night, speaking in tongues, and roll over and say, good night, Lord, it's good.
Oh,
if you hadn't done that, you ask the Lord to let you wake up praising him in tongues. That's the best kind of sleeping. That's the best kind of sleeping. You know you've been praying all along. You say, Lord, why should my spirit stand up and suck its thumb all night just because my body's tired? Let my spirit praise the Lord during the night. Ask the Lord about that. Wake up and just roll over and go back to sleep. I was telling Lita Mae on the way up here, I had a very traumatic experience that happened to me this past week. And that night, as I slept, I kept waking up 3 or 4 times, and I'd wake up long enough to hear myself repeating a scripture verse. And as I got up and woke up the next morning, I came to consciousness, and I do this quite often. I come to consciousness singing, usually, some little ditty about a scripture set to music or something. And this morning, Monday morning, I got up, and I was saying, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. And you see, I got myself in trouble over the weekend because I shined a little bit in public with a whole bunch of folks that looked like they had prunes for breakfast, and they didn't like it. And I woke up saying, out of Zion, that's me, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Oh, glory. He can shine anytime he wants to. Just shine on. Hallelujah. This old nest that the eagle builds is a great big affair. It's about 10 or 12 feet across, and they add on to it every year. Now, eagles are monogamous. They have only one love for life. Just one. We're the same way. Our nest gets built on to and built on to. The psalmist said, when I was in distress, I called on the Lord, and he set my feet in a large place.
Yes.
You like a large place?
Yes.
No cramped quarters for us. Large places. And not only that, but we just have one love. Go ahead, sister. I've been chewing on it all week. Help yourself. Help yourself. We have one love for life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, when you fall in love with him, you're never going to want another lover. He's enough. He's enough. And you fall in love with him, and you're ruined for life. That's all you want is just that one love. An eagle's just like that. Now, little eaglets are born with their eyes open. Hallelujah!
Glory.
Born with your eyes open. You know, puppies have to wait, and cats and all those, I think they have to wait till their eyes get open. Not us eagles. Honey, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yes.
We come into this life with our eyes open. And an eagle has a sharp eye. He can see for a long distance. He sees further than others. He sees further. And we come into this life with our eyes open. I used to hear a little old joke one time that said that there was this little boy who was sitting on the street corner, and the local Methodist pastor came by and said, good morning, Johnny. And he said, morning, pastor. And he had a little basket of puppies sitting there, and he said, what kind of puppies you got there, hon? And he says, oh, these is Methodist puppies. He said, Methodist puppies, hon. Cute thing. The bishop visited the next week, and he walked along showing him the neighborhood, and there was the little kid, and he said, come over here, I'll show you something cute. Said, you're going to love this. Said, hey, son, how are those puppies doing? Said, oh, they're fine. Said, tell the bishop what kind of puppies they are, boy. He said, oh, these is Baptist puppies. Said, Baptist puppies? I thought you told me they were Methodists. Said, yes, sir, but they done got their eyes open. Now, we don't have to wait to get our eyes open. We come into life with our eyes wide open and seeing and perceiving. Hallelujah. Amen. A young eaglet cannot hunt its own food in the beginning. It needs some help. So Mama Eagle goes out and she catches food. And the baby's all mouth. You look at a little bird of any kind, and they're all mouth, and all they know how to do is squawk. And they have the Bible says, open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it.
Yes.
Open your, most of us have got our mouth tight, you know, clamped so tight. God's got to prize our mouth open to get a bite down our gullet. Not a baby eagle. Man, he opens his mouth, and Mama crams him full of food.
Yes.
In the beginning, we are needing special nourishment. The Holy Spirit, our Father, Mother, God, He provides. All we have to do is open our mouth, and He crams us just as full as we can take, and then some. If you ever had a baby that had too much and it ran over, and your milk just trickles out, well, that's the way I used to be. Glory to God, I just pig out on Holy Ghost, and I just kind of burp it up every so often. It'd run over, and if you happen to be near me, you'd get wet, you know. You just slosh out on you. The Scripture said in Hebrews, said you ought to have been teachers. You're still having to be taught the first principles of God when you should be teachers yourself. It says, when you come into the kingdom, desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know that scripture that said, I believe I told y'all, didn't I tell you about this psalm that says, I have quieted myself like a weaned child on its mother's breast. Did I talk to you about that? I used to wonder about that. I thought that was the most intriguing psalm. So I saw finally that a weaned child who's been nursing at the breast, usually a little new baby just nuzzles. When it smells milk, it just nuzzles. You know, it's kind of embarrassing. You got your baby out in public, and all of a sudden that little thing just starts nuzzling and rooting, and you say, pardon me, it's time to feed. you know, but when he smells it, he gets all panic stricken and he starts nuzzling. That's the way I was when I first came into this new life. I thought I hadn't had it all today. I had to learn. I couldn't wait to learn. It irritated me that others knew more than I did. And I said, oh, God, let me know about that king and who he killed and what he did. And how come I don't know about it? I got in that word and I just read and chewed on it. I wanted to know it all. But an older child who has been weaned can lay his head on mother's breast and be comforted with the odor of food, knowing mama will feed me at mealtime. I'll never miss a bite.
Oh,
never miss a bite. So we can comfort ourselves on God like a weaned child, being satisfied with the odor of plenty without having to nuzzle and getting all upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's going to feed me.
Yeah.
I won't miss a bite.
Yeah.
I'll comfort myself with the odor of plenty. Okay, now I'd like to mention two more things about eagles. First thing, they only eat fresh food. I absolutely despise to get up early Sunday morning, cook dinner, roll my husband and kids out of the bed and, you know, feed them and rub the creases out of them and stuff myself in a pair of stockings and roar up to the church house door and have some yahoo serve me up some kind of cold leftover grits he served back in the seminary. I want some fresh victuals.
Hey.
I want something hot off the griddle. When you tell me the same old sweet story of Jesus, serve it up hot. Don't spit it out cold. Serve it up hot. Eagles just eat fresh food. And then turn to Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Deuteronomy 32. Glory to God. Gets better and better. Gooder and gooder. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and we'll start looking at the 11th verse. It says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young. Now, that word hovers is the same word that Genesis, the first chapter, said in the spirit brooded over the waters. He hovered. He mothered. It's also the word for flutter. Deuteronomy 32:11. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. That's his wings. He's talking here, this is the song of Moses. He's talking about God's dealing with his people. God stirred up his nest. God hovered over his young. God carried them on his pinions, on his wings. Now, this is what he's making reference to. An old mama eagle has all that nest full of little chaps, and they all mouth, you know. Pretty soon they begin to flesh out a little bit and get more feathers, and it's time for them to leave the nest. But who's going to leave a place where you get groceries three times a day and everything's just lovely? Nobody's going to leave a place like that. So old mama eagle crouches over the nest, and she takes those great big old huge wings and she starts doing this. She starts fanning that hot air, and pretty soon it blows out all that nice soft down that she pulled out of her chest and made a nice cushion for her babies to be born in. It starts blowing it out. Man, those feathers leave and all that soft stuff they've been nesting on leaves, and she keeps blowing and moving those wings, and it gets cold under there, and all the soft stuff blows out, and the babies start squawking, and the sticks in the bottom of the nest are exposed, and they start saying, oh, oh, as they get bruised and they get unhappy. Finally, somebody gets smart enough to move. They're all huddled down there. They're freezing. They say, Mama hates me. She hates me. She has lost her mind. What have I done? Now, when God brings you into his kingdom, he puts you in a nice, soft space, you know, a place where you're all comfortable and everything is sweet, Jesus, and it's hallelujah, and it's so sweet and love you, you like it. And then one day, our mother God, the Holy Ghost, begins to stir up his nest. And you say, oh, God hates me. I must have sinned. And you go hunting for it, and you can't find it. And you go to your neighbor, and they find it. They'll always find it. Oh, yeah. And the Spirit of God begins to flutter over his nest. He's moving you out. He's moving. See, if he didn't do anything, you'd never learn to fly. Well, one of those little old babies finally struggles. They work their way trying to get away from that cold wind that mama's blowing up. They finally get to the edge of the nest, and there's nothing down there but oblivion. And they look down and below them. They thought, oh, my Lord, this is it. This is it. If I jump, I'm a goner. But all of a sudden, the billows that mama is blowing blow that little thing off of the edge of the nest. And it falls and falls, and just before it hits the ground, mama swoops down under it and catches it on its wings. And she flies it back to the nest. That little old thing gets his foot back in the nest. He says, oh, praise God, that's over. Hallelujah. But the first thing you know, she's back up over the nest. She's doing it again. He thought he'd learned it all. She's doing it again. And it goes on and on until one time in that tumble out of the nest, just in order to get his balance, sort of reflex action, he does this, and something catches him like wind. And he thinks, oh, look here, I'm flying. And he soars off into the heavens. You see, he'd never learned to fly, except Mama stirred up the nest. Uh-huh. She made it uncomfortable enough to where he had to get out. Uh-huh. And once he got out on the edge, scared though he was, almost as an automatic reflex, he learned to fly. He found out why he was here. Uh-huh. Now, has the Holy Ghost been stirring up your nest? Uh-huh. Oh, honey, until you learn to fly, that's all you can expect. That's it. Until you learn to fly, that's all you can expect is cold air, sharp sticks, and fear. Amen. As you tumble out of the nest. That's it. That's it. When the Holy Ghost stirs your nest up, learn to fly on the first tumble. It's a lot easier. Saves a lot of wear and tear on your nerves. Learn to fly right off the bat. Right off the bat. Okay. Let me say this. Remember what it says in Exodus where he talked about his people? He said, I bore you on eagle's wings. That's what he's talking about. You get that scripture, that's what he means. I bore you on eagle's wings. I carried you out like a mama eagle does her babies. Now, one more thing. Eagles hunt only in the daytime. We are the children of the day. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness Amen. And into the kingdom of his dear son. Eagles will hunt together in pairs many times, but they separate to bear young. They flock together to feed, but then they separate to bear young. We're flocking together tonight to feed, Amen. To minister to one another. We're going to separate to bear young. Young is born out in the wilderness, away from the congregation. That's right. That's where the babies are hatched out. All right, now, I said all that to say this. There is a little saying that's going around that you may have heard, and it's something like this. You cannot fly with the eagles if you're flocking with the turkeys. Have you heard it? You cannot fly with the eagles if you're flocking with the turkeys. Why on earth would an eagle ever be flocking with a bunch of turkeys? I'm going to tell you how. Now, that little set of questions I gave you, we're going to go over those answers in a few minutes, and we're going to find out if you have been turkey-rised. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that I am 40 years old, and most of them, I was the victim of turkeyization, and I turkey-rised a whole bunch myself. We're going to find out. Now, this is a little story I want to tell you. A few years ago, a few miles below Ville Platte, there was a colony of eagles. There was a papa eagle and a mama eagle that married and hatched out two little eaglets. Now, all the rest of the community gathered together to brag on these little eaglets. Because, after all, the population of eaglets is diminishing, getting smaller. And, oh, they bragged, and Papa was so proud, and Mama was so proud, and everybody was so proud, you know. But after a while, the newness wore off. Now, this was a very religious community of eagles. Very religious. Papa, he was a charismatic. And he loved to soar in the heavenlies, way up there where he was just a tiny speck to the natural eye. Oh, he loved to soar and to soar with his wings out, riding those thermal updrafts of the Holy Ghost. Oh, it was great. It was great. But during this process of, you know, hatching, incubation, he really felt the confinement of it all, you know, feeding and burping and the whole schmear. And he was used to soaring in the heavenlies. Well, he did the best he could, but after a while, Papa left the nest. I mean, he just couldn't take it anymore. He wanted to soar. Now, soaring's good, but you shouldn't soar when you ought to be feeding. You see, there's more to having eaglets than just hatching them out. You got to raise those boogers.
Amen.
Takes a little bit of time and a little bit of effort. But Papa, he was soaring. Mama, she left the nest too. Mama was a Southern Baptist. And she left the nest as soon as she hatched these out to hatch some more. Because, of course, you realize that's the measure of success. If you get any more than two or three Southern Baptists together for any length of time, and particularly if they happen to be preachers, this is the question. How many of you hatched out last year, huh? Now, we got some Southern Baptists here. I know. How many of you hatched out? That's it, you see. So, Papa, he's out soaring. And Mama, she's out hatching. And the babies, they're abandoned in the nest. And after two or three days, they look at each other and they say, hey, you know, we're kind of like the lepers at the gate of Samaria. If we stay here, we're going to die. And they looked over the edge of the nest to the ground about 60 feet. If we jump, we might die, but we might live. So they were half Baptist, so they took a vote. They decided to jump. And over the edge of the nest they went, tail feathers over beak, and they landed in this big clump on the ground, knocked the breath out of them. And they struggled to their feet in their weakened condition and counted their feathers to see if they were all there, drug themselves up, and started out toward the woods to find something to eat. Now, as they got started, guess who they met on the road? Flock of turkeys. And the head gobbler said, hey, where you going? And they said, oh, we going for something to eat. Yeah, well, we going for something to eat. We know where there's acorn. Why don't you come with us? And they said, we'll go with you. So they went and found the acorn tree, and all those turkeys were eating those acorns, and those little eaglets, you know, they were eating, and they didn't taste so hot, but they were hungry. Now, I'm going to tell you something to remember. When you're really hungry, you'll eat anything, even if it's against your nature. When you're really hungry. So they ate for a while, and it started getting dark, and the head turkey said, where you boys stay? And they said, oh, well, we don't stay any place in particular. We just came out of that tree. And he said, well, how would you like to come and be a part of our family? And they said, yeah, we'll do that, yeah. Rule number two. When the people who should accept you don't accept you, you'll go with anybody who will accept you.
That's right.
Rule number three. You will try your best to conform to the image of whoever will accept you.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Here we go. Here's a young boy. His home says it's wrong to smoke pot. His school says it's wrong to smoke pot. His church says it's wrong to smoke pot. His government says it's wrong to smoke pot. Four of the major institutions in his life, and in 15 minutes in a parked car, his friend can get him to smoke pot.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, I'm accepted. I want to see that I keep on being accepted. So I'll do what will get me acceptance. Now these little turkeys, come eagles, went with the flock. Now I want you to know something. It's not hard to be a turkey, if you are a turkey. But it's hard to be a turkey if you're an eagle. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hard. But these boys were trying. They were giving it their best shot. They were going along the road one day, and a great big snake came across the path. And one of those little old eagles felt his talons come out. He felt all those little eagle feathers on his neck stand up. and his eyes got piercing, and man, he started for that snake, and the head gobbler says, no, no, we don't do that. No, no, come over here in the bushes with us. That thing will eat you up. Well, you see, the eagle is the natural enemy of the snake. Don't you love it? Natural enemy of the snake. But the eagle said, well, the head turkey ought to know. So he lays his feathers down, pulls back his claws, and he slithers over in his little clumsy walk on the ground under the bush with the rest of the turkeys. But deep down in his little turkey heart, he says, you know, I could take that rascal. I know I could do it, but I better be quiet, you know. Turkeys live by fear. That's why you don't see them too much. You know, you go turkey hunting, you don't see them. They live by fear. Oh, it's easy to scare a turkey. All you have to do is say, snake, and they're gone. They're gone. One day they're walking along, and one little turkey comes out, one of those little eagles, you know, that is trying to be a turkey. He finds a turkey that doesn't belong to his flock. And, you know, he's going to do his part. And he says, you know, brother, he said, why don't you come over and visit with us at First Turkey Flock? He said, man, we got a head gobbler that can flat lay out the giblets. You know, you can get interested in giblets if you are a turkey. But if you're an eagle, it's nothing to crow about, you know. Giblets, who cares? What's giblets? But a turkey, that giblets are important to them. I mean, that's part of them. Difficult, difficult. These poor little birds were having the hardest time, the hardest time. But they didn't know anything else. This is all that they knew. One day, one of the little turkeys is standing there, and the eagle's standing next to him. And the little turkey's just standing there looking. And the eagle says, hey, what's that down the road? The turkey says, I don't see nothing. And the eagle says, yeah, right down there. See that thing? See it? It's just over to the left of that tree with the two big limbs on the right. See that thing? The turkey says, there's nothing down there. The little eagle says, yeah, there is. I see it. The turkey says, listen, if there was anything down there, don't you think I'd see it? I don't see it. There must not be anything. You're crazy. The little eagle says, well, the turkey ought to know. He's been a turkey longer than me. He ought to know. There must not be anything down there. One day, this same little eaglet saw something flying up in the air, you know, another bird, and he's looking in that thing, and he thought, oh, I'd love to be up there. You know, you can take the eagle out of the sky, but you can't take the sky out of the eagle. Amen. Won't work. And he's looking up, and the head gobbler sees him. He said, come here, boy, I want to talk to you. They went over there into the corner. And he said, now, son, I want to tell you this. He said, you see all them bird up there? All them bird are vultures. Hello, hello. They're all vultures. Said, they're not nice like us turkeys. Said, man, they scream loud. They don't like nice soft cluck like us. You know, no. Oh, he said, you get in amongst them birds and them all screaming at the same time, it makes your little turkey head just whirl. They're loud, loud. Oh. Well, it went on for a while, but this one little eagle began to complain. And he went to the head gobbler, and he said, you know, he said, I'm really working hard to fit in. I want to fit in. I do. He said, but you know, I have these strange yearnings in me. I mean, these, you know, I think about fish at night. I dream about fish. I know acorns are good for me, but I just see these fish all the time. You see, eagles feed on fish. Turkeys feed on acorns. And the head gobbler said, no fish. Said, it's acorns. Said, I sympathize with you, son, and I know the answer to your problem. What you need is a job in the flock. You need to be busy about the flock business. That's it. You need a job. Service is the answer, son. service is the answer. Says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you flock-wide leader and head in charge of bug scratching. That's going to be your job. For the whole flock, you're going to be head of bug scratching. Oh, well. You know, the little turkey thought, that's it. The little eagle said, that's it, that's it. I'll be serving the flock, and it'll satisfy these yearnings inside me. So, he went at it 100%. I told you he was half Baptist. 100% he goes. First of all, he has a flock-wide week set aside for intensified study on claw sharpening. And then he divides all the flock up into teams, and he sends them out into the forest, and within 3 or 4 weeks, there's not an uncontacted bird in the whole community. All the birds and all the bugs are found. They know right where they are. He did a good job. But you know, the service didn't do it. He kept busy, but when he got still, late at night, perched up on a low limb with all the rest of the turkeys, he'd look up in the sky and he'd say, oh, I wonder what it's really like up there. I wonder what it's really like. Well, it went on and it went on. Until finally one day, the head gobbler had heard about a new oak tree, and it was a lot of acorns, and he was all excited and in a flutter about the acorns. And so they were all twittering and clucking and going to find this new acorn tree. And this one little eagle was coming along. You know, they're so clumsy on the ground. He's coming along behind, trailing up. And he stopped under a great big oak tree. And he leaned up against it, and he looked up in the sky. And there happened to be a big old owl sitting up in that tree. And the owl looked down, and he says, who are you? And the little eagle said, oh, I'm one of them turkeys. He said, you know, I'm so tired. Oh, he said, I'm so tired. Turkey law's getting me. It's so hard. He said, you know, Mr. Owl, he said, I've done everything I know, everything I know. I've just worked at it so hard. I took all them study course books on how to be a good turkey. I practiced my gobble every day. Said, my claws are down to the quick, scratching them bugs. He said, I don't screech, I cluck softly. Said, look, I want to be a good turkey so bad, I even sign up for Thanksgiving. Said, it don't work. It don't work. Said, man, I got them guilts all over me. He said, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Justin Wilson, eat your heart out. He said, I'm going to tell you one thing. I can't stand them acorns. Man, them things go right through me. Woo! I can't take them. Can't take them. The old owl, he looked down out of the tree. He said, oh, mush. Your problem is you don't know who you are. Uh-huh. Man, you ain't no turkey. You an eagle. You were born to fly. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Well, said the little turkey, a little turkey eagle. Why not? Nothing else was. So he struggled up on the top of a big old outcropping of rock. He got himself over to the edge. He shook his wings out a little bit. He leaned forward, and just about that time a puff of wind came along. He gave a little pop, and out he went. And his wings caught that air, and he began to do this. And he started to rise, and he went higher and higher and higher until he was a little bitty speck way, way, way up in the sky. It was wonderful. His little eagle heart said, this is it. This is it. I was born to fly. All this time I've been wasting my time on the ground. I was born to fly. This is my home. Well, he looked down on the ground, and there was the turkey flock going across the road with his little brother bringing up the rear. And so he spread his old wings out, and he made a big, long swoop until he just brushed over the flock. And he leans way over, and he says, "Hey, brother, come out from among them turkeys!" Oh, glory! Hallelujah! Oh, listen. I struggled with turkey law. I struggled. I passed out cookies and Kool-Aid, cut those napkins in fourths. I was there when the doors opened and when they turned off the lights. I took everything that was offered. I did it all. And it never satisfied me.
Amen.
I sat on my sweet little pew and I sat there and I listened and it didn't satisfy. I thought there's got to be something else.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But all I knew was turkey theology. Turkey theology will drown you. It'll drown you. Now look at your question, little answers to your questions. We're going to talk about it for just a minute. Question number one. Question number one. All Christians need to get closer to God. That's false. That's false. That's turkey theology. I fed on it all my life. You can't get any closer to God than Jesus Christ. And if you said Jesus is Lord, you're in Jesus. You can't get any closer to God. Where are you going to get? The scripture says, in him we move and have our being.
Yes.
We're as close to God as water is to a fish.
Yes.
We are in Jesus Christ. You're trying to get something you've got. You ever look for your glasses and they were on your head? I mean, that's devastating. That's Panicville, you know. You're hunting what you've got, sweetheart. You're in Jesus. You're not going to get any closer to God.
That's right.
That's false. Question number two. It's easier for a Christian to sin than to do acts of righteousness. False. False. You have to make a choice to sin. You do everything you do is an act of righteousness because you have been declared legally righteous.
That's right.
You've been given the gift of righteousness, it says in Romans 5:17. A gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You just take it and say thank you. You've been gifted with righteousness.
Amen.
It better be easier for you to do righteous acts than to sin, or we're going to have to look up on your ancestry. That's right. Because if the Father, the Heavenly Father, is your Father, you do acts of righteousness naturally. The first act of righteousness I did this morning was brush my teeth. And then I plugged in the coffee pot. And after that, I turned on the stove to fry the eggs. Everything I do is an act of righteousness. Everything I do, because I am righteously, legally declared righteous. It don't make any difference how you feel. You see, the turkeys will teach you turkey theology in order to explain their lifestyle. That's right. You look at the Word. You look at the Word and let the Word form your opinions of yourself. Do you know, have you heard Malcolm Smith on one of his tapes? He says that our actions are only the belated announcement of our thoughts.
That's right.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What's in the wells coming up in the bucket? I mean, it all says the same thing. The way you think about yourself is the way you're going to act. Any psychologist worth his salt will tell you the same thing. Your self-image determines your actions. Your self-image determines. You need to see who you are. You ain't no turkey, honey. You're an eagle.
Amen.
Declared so by the Word of God, which cannot lie. Which will accomplish what it is sent out to do. Question number three. Christians are not dead to sin. Paul says we are. I'm not talking about your experience. I'm talking about the Word. when I learned at a young age that when your experience and the Word of God do not match, out goes your experience. The Word of God stands.
Amen.
Paul said Christians are dead to sin. That means you don't have to sin. You're the only one that has a choice, sweetheart. The sinners and the heathens don't have any choice. They sin because they can't do anything else. You make a choice. Don't let that turkey theology bind your feet. Question number four. You can sin and not know it. I suppose of all of the things I could have used, and I only used a few questions that I could have, this probably is the most dangerous, the most devastating, the most dastardly of all. I saw this. The question is this. You can sin and not know it. I heard a man say this. He said, "Do you mean to tell me that I can live with the Holy Spirit?" And remember, his main attribute is his holiness. "Do you mean to tell me that I can live with the Holy Spirit and sin and him not blow the whistle on me?" Now you think about that. You may not know why it's sin. You may not know where to locate it in the Bible, but deep within you, you say, "That's not right. Red light, red flag." That's why, young man, I had an occasion where I went to church with some folks. The girl was a young teenage girl. She fell in love with one of them. Boy, he was a booger, honey, a card-carrying booger. And she was nice, low, starched and iron things with patent leather shoes and curled hair and ribbons in the hair, you know, all that. And she fell in love with this bad-looking guy. And he started coming to church with her. And he was so suspicious, you know. Oh, he was suspicious. Everybody wanted to give him a bar of soap. And he was suspicious of the preacher in particular. And so he was a pilot. And the preacher asked him to teach him how to fly. So this young man did. He took him on as a student pilot, taught him to fly. And he said later that he was so suspicious of him, but he never once told him that he ought to do anything. He never once said anything to him. It was this man's life that made him ask, "What is it that you have?" You know, the scripture says, "Be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks you." Paul is sure you're going to be asked, because the light of the Holy Ghost in you cannot be hidden.
Amen.
You just live it, they'll ask. And then you can dump your whole load on them because they ask.
That's right.
You know, I never could adjust. I was told all my life, you know, that you're supposed to go out and knock on doors or tap somebody on the shoulder and say, "Turn or burn." I never could do it. Well, yeah. I never could do it. But if you are so full of the Holy Spirit of God that it permeates the cells of your body like it did Moses, they'll ask. They'll ask. And then you can tell them. More than they want to know, but then you can tell them. They open themselves up for it, let them have it. Open their mouth and say, "Holy Ghost, hallelujah, have a bite. Good for you." Then you can do it. But remember this, let them ask. Now, when the Holy Spirit lives within you, he teaches you, instructs you. The scripture says you'll hear a voice behind your ear saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." That's anthropomorphic talk, for the Spirit of God will reveal to your understanding what's what. You won't need to wonder. This boy fooled around and got himself saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. And nobody still told him anything. And he began to get cleaned up, cut his hair, you know, bathe regular, all that good stuff. But nobody ever told him. The Spirit of God told him. And that Spirit that indwells you will lead you into all truth.
Amen.
Don't you think that because so-and-so gets to go down here where they have these marvelous, if I could just go to that meeting. No. The teacher lives in you.
Right.
Don't think if I could to brother so-and-so, I could get delivered. No. The deliverer lives within you. When you sin, brothers and sisters, you're going to know it.
Yes.
Now, you might convince yourself and play these mental tricks with and games with yourself. But you'll know that you're playing games because you know the Holy Ghost says, "I don't like that." And when that is true, then you say, you don't like that? I don't like it neither. Looks good to me, but if you don't like it, we won't have nothing to do with it. That's what repentance is. It means turn around and go another way. You don't have to moan and groan and suck your thumb. You just turn around and say, well, I don't like it neither then. Whatever you don't like, I don't like. That's all it is. Question number 5, the last one, my favorite. When I sin, I disappoint God. False. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Romans 8 says, there is therefore now, no condemnation. God isn't disappointed in you. The only person who's disappointed is you. You're disappointed in yourself. And a lot of our grieving over sin is nothing more than embarrassment. You hearing me? A lot of grieving over sin is nothing more than embarrassment. You just thought you were better than that. You're just real put out to think that you could be so rotten. God knew it. Your husband or your wife knew it. And all your neighbors knew it. You're the last one to find out. Nobody's surprised but you. And God is not disappointed in you. You're not out to please God. God doesn't love you more when you do good than when you do rotten. God loved you when you were dead in trespasses and sin. God called you out of darkness into light, and He loves you because He chose to love you. He loves you out of Himself. Your actions make no difference.
Amen.
You don't make yourself lovable to God as opposed to being unlovable. You can't come to the end of the day and say, well, I can pray real good because I've been a sweetheart all day long. Garbage. You are loved of God because He chose to love you.
That's right.
You come to God every time you come on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus. That's your access. You come to Him in Jesus Christ, pure and spotless, and God's not upset with you. Nobody's shocked but you.
Amen. That's
right.
God's not disappointed in you. God's love never changes. It never wavers. It's never more. It's never less. His love is perfect love. If it was ever more, then it wasn't perfect to start with. If it was ever less, it had less to be, or more to be desired. It wasn't perfect to begin with. God's love never changes. And we adjust our behavior to line up with this word and the witness of the Holy Spirit within us because our love for our Father is so great, it hurts us too bad to disobey Him. We can't stand the pain. We cannot stand to be that which our God, be less than that which our God has called us to be. Our love for Him constrains us. It leads us with a rope. No, God isn't disappointed with you. You'll never have a better relationship with God than you do right this minute. Oh, you on your side may be more aware of Him as you grow and make yourself available for the Holy Spirit. But God loves you as much as He ever will, as it ever is possible to, right now. And you come to God on the basis of the finished work of Jesus.
Amen.
It's all done. It's all done. All done. Now let me ask you one more that I didn't ask you. Well, let me just say this. I won't put it in the form of a question. Have you ever heard someone say, in this pseudo-pious attitude, well, I'm just a poor old sinner saved by grace. I want to toss my cookies every time I hear it. Poor, how dare we insult our God? How dare we insult Him? You were a poor old sinner. The minute you got saved by grace, you were a son and an heir of the kingdom. That's it. That's it. Turkey theology. Turkey theology. How do you feel at the end of the day if you come crawling into God's presence and say, oh, God, forgive me for all the sins I did and I don't know about it? Why, you feel miserable. You feel you're lower than a worm's belly. How are you going to stand up and praise God when you're saying, oh, I'm so unworthy? You mean to tell me that you are going to argue with God? He said you were worthy. You say, oh, but I'm not God. Who are you going to argue with, God? You're going to believe Him or you're going to believe yourself and your neighbors? Who are you going to believe? God says, I'm worthy. The end. I am worthy. That's it. That's it. I am worthy. He has made me worthy in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What makes you think that your sweet little so-called sweet actions are so sweet? They're just sweet to you. They're not so hot. The righteousness of Jesus Christ that we stand in makes us worthy.
Yes.
Worthy. You deserve every good thing God has. He has made you worthy.
Precious Lord.
It is an open rebuke to your Father to say, "Oh, Lord, I couldn't take that. Oh, my God, that's too much. Oh, Lord, don't waste yourself. Don't give me a lot, God, just a little bit." God doesn't deal in little bits.
Amen.
God doesn't deal in little bits. A son of the living God. Turkey rise. Oh, hallelujah, He set me free. Praise your precious name. Get out of that turkey theology and soar where you belong to be.
Amen.
Soar where you belong to be.
Amen.
Begin to agree with what God said.
Amen.
He's smarter than we are.
Amen.
He just plain knows more.
Amen.
Find out what He said. Next time you hear yourself clucking, slap yourself right across the face and say, "Glory!" Scream a little. It's your natural voice pattern anyway. And when the turkeys start clucking and scattering, let them go. Oh, it's good for them. Good for them. Make them hungry to get out of those turkey feathers and into the air.
Oh, glory.
Now, let me tell you one more thing about the old eagle. Turn over to Isaiah 40. No, I'm sorry, Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Fifth verse. The scriptures say, Psalm 103, verse 5, we're back up to the first verse. We'll just start at the beginning. It's too good to waste. Psalms 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Do you know that the Lord showed me that anybody can praise and give thanks? Anybody. It takes an act of your will and the exercise of your intellectual awareness to bless. Blessing has content. You got to think to bless. The word bless means to gift with words of power. And we bless God. We gift Him with words of power. Out of the unction of the Holy Spirit within our spirit, we speak a blessing on the blesser. Oh, to think of it. The lesser blessing the greater. And we gift Him with words of power. Use your brain, saints. Think and bless God. Just don't say ta-ta, papa. That's nothing. Anybody can say that. Bless the Lord. Use your mind. Review before your intellect His greatness and the marvel of His being. And if you don't think so good yet, read some of His own words back to Him. If they're good, they're the best. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. You see, your mind's involved here. Forget, remember. Remember all His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities. All your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. All of them. Who redeems your life from the pit. I stand before you. I have been redeemed.
Yes.
Brought back from the pit. Brought back. I was dead, dying. Brain cells irreparably damaged from lack of oxygen. Broken. On a life support machine. Breathing for me. And God brought me back. He has redeemed my life from the pit. He has crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, the last thing I want to tell you about the old eagle is this. He does get old. Have you ever heard anybody, I used to have a girlfriend whose mama, when we'd get kind of cross, she'd say we had the pip. You know what the pip is? Baby chickens get a little growth, a little calcium growth over their beak. They've got the pip. And they can't drink and they can't eat. And they have to have that, they have to be pipped. They have to have that thing broken off of them. Well, the old eagle gets on up into years and they live to great ages. The old eagle will get the pip. He'll get growths all over that old beak. And he'll get so heavy and so thick that he gets where he can't open that beak and he gets cross and crotchety. Anytime you start fooling with a fellow's vittles, can't say it, he gets cross. You girls know that. Don't ever ask your husband anything before he's had supper. Wait till after. You know. Well, old eagle gets himself all where he can't eat, and he gets cross, and he'll get away from the other eagles. They aggravate the mischief out of him. I've had the spiritual pips before. And nobody can get him anything to eat. He can't find food any place. Man, I'd say, well, I'll go hear Sister So-and-so. And she comes out like leftover oatmeal. And you know, and nobody can. I pick up the word, and it's just cold. I say, oh, God, I've got to have something to eat. And I'm crotchety. You go to your church and find out somebody that's got the spiritual pip. You know, they don't like nobody. They're going to vote no, and everybody else votes yes, and by the other. They're going to complain about everything. They never satisfied. They got the pip. And the old eagle gets the pip. And he gets to looking scruffy and skinny and scrawny from lack of food and water. And he can't get the strength to get up and soar anymore in the heavenlies like he was born to do. And he just drags off and brushes down and gets off in a place all by himself where nobody and nothing can find him. Gets off all by himself. Oh, I have drug off and found me a hole and curled up in it and sucked my spiritual thumb for weeks. And he does that. He gets off in a place where nobody is, and he finds him a rock, and he starts hitting that beak on that rock, and he knocks it. Have you ever had a bobo on your finger, and you kept poking it because it hurt so good? You ever done that? You'd be a kid, you get your bobo, and you keep poking it. First time you get it infected because it just felt so good to poke it. When you poked it, it felt hurt good. That old eagle will start beating his beak on that rock, and it hurts so good. And he feels so sorry for himself. Nobody understands him. Nobody knows what he's going through. Oh, it's terrible. He beats his beak on that rock until he starts to chipping off all of that growth. All of that old stuff that's weighting him down and keeping him from getting his food and keeping him from having his feathers oiled. He can't get down there and oil and groom himself, you know. Oh, he looks terrible, scraggly. And pretty soon he knocks enough of that pip off so he can eat once more. He can drink once more. And he starts to fill in and fleshing out. And he can groom his feathers again and dip in that little oil sack at the bottom of his tail and get his feathers nice and clean and waterproof. And he looks like a young eagle again. The scripture says, the Lord satisfies our years with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. The scripture says that we bring forth fruit in old age. Bring forth fruit. We bring forth our fruit in its season. Our leaves are green and luxurious, remember, because our roots are sunk deep in the river of life. God has made provision for his eagles, and his desire is that you soar and soar. But let me tell you something. You cannot get off the ground if you're full of acorns. That's right. Those things will weigh you down. You can't soar if you're running from snakes. You can't soar if you're flocking with turkeys.
Amen.
Come out from among them turkeys and be ye separate, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name because you are the great God, our Lord. Father, I thank you that in your mercy you have called us. In your mercy, you have chosen us and drawn us to yourself. Thank you, our Lord Jesus Christ, for the finished work of Calvary. Thank you for the resurrection. Oh, we exalt in it, our God. We exalt in it. We do speak the finished work of Jesus before all the universe and declare that Jesus is Lord. It is finished. It is finished. It is done. It is done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the finished work of Jesus. Oh, Father, we do not run from the snake, but we don't We're not ignoring Him either, our God. We're not hunting Him up, but we're declaring the finished work of Jesus. We don't ignore Him, but we don't go looking for Him. Our God, we reign in the heavenlies because You have said so. You have called us. You have seated us in Christ Jesus. You have seated us in the heavenlies where all the real action takes place. Our God, all authority has been given to Jesus Christ our Lord. All authority is in Your name, our God, and in that authoritative name we go. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is walking with feet like burnished brass. Our enemies are fluttering out before us, melting like wax of the candle before us. Our God, we put our feet down on conquered ground. Yes, Lord, our God, we do move those feet and put them down where Your Spirit directs. And every place that we move belongs to us because You have given it to us. Oh, God, our God, forgive us. Forgive us for thinking that You were somebody like us. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to think of You in the way that we think of a man, of a human being, trying to accuse You of acting like we would act. Lord, lift us up higher than that. Oh, God, show us Your holiness. Lord God, let us see the holiness of our God. Father, prepare us. Cause us to come to a place that we can afford to see. Let us be prepared, our God, to view Your holiness, to put our hand on our mouth and our face in the dust and declare that You are God only, to wrap our arms around You, O love, to declare ourselves Your own purchased possession, to worship You, our God, to stand in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and speak out the will of our God in the universe. Oh, Father, our dear, dear Lord, thank You. Thank You, Spirit of God. Thank You for revealing to us the things of Jesus and making them real to us. Thank You, Spirit of God, for feeding us with food that's convenient for us. Thank You, Lord, for feeding us the sincere milk of the Word and then giving us the vegetables and the meat and all the rest of the courses. Lord, thank You for revealing truth to us. Oh, God, I desire to know You and to know Your Word revealed by Your Spirit in my life and heart. Prepare me, my God, and make me ready to be able to comprehend the length and the depth and the height and the breadth and all those other things that surpass all knowledge. Lord, prepare me to receive Your Word. God, I want to make myself available to You, that I might be there to receive what Your heart desires to show. For Lord, I know that You have the words of life, and there's no place else I want to be, Lord, but right where You are speaking. And I thank You that You are speaking, my God, that Your Word is talking to me and revealing to me Your heart and Your mind. Praise the Lord, all ye people. Let the universe praise Him, and let the angels give glory. Let all the demonic hordes of all the hells of all the universes declare that Jesus is Lord. Let every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is God, to the glory of God the Father. Our Lord, we do acknowledge it with joy and delight. They will acknowledge it because they have to, but we because we want to. We bless You, our Lord. We praise You, our Master. We delight to call You Master and Lord. We delight to call You husband and bridegroom. We delight to call You friend. Oh, God, our God, minister to us deliverance, our Father. Minister to us liberty of mind and spirit, our God. Oh, bring us out of the bondages of human religion, our Lord, into the liberty of Your own dear Son. God, liberate our minds. Forgive us, O God, for condemning ourselves when You have delivered us. Forgive us for declaring what You have said is righteous as unrighteous. Forgive us for saying that we are unclean when You have said that we are clean. Forgive us, O God, for walking with our nose in the dust when You have said, lift up Your head. O Father, in the name of Jesus, we confess that this is an insult to You and we repent, our God. Open our minds, O Lord. Open our understanding. Teach us Your ways, O God. Teach us Your ways, for we want to walk where You're walking, Lord. We want to walk in the paths of righteousness that You have ordained that we should walk in, doing those good works that You chose us and ordained us to do. Father, we bless and praise Your name this day. Now, if it's all right with you, I'd like to pray for some of you. I'd like to pray for you, and if you will, when I call you, if you wouldn't mind, would you come up here? I might be able to. Let's see, it'd be easier if I could. Okay. All right. We'll do it like this. This might be easier. Brother, if it's all right, I'd like to pray for you first. May I lay my hand on your shoulder?
Sure.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless and praise you for your will, your revelation. Lord, I want to pray for my brother. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you strengthen his body. I pray, Father, that the very cells of his body come into order with each other, that his heart beat correctly, that the blood circulate through his body according to the dictates of every cell and organ as they need it. I pray in the name of Jesus that his strength be increased. I ask according to the word of God that the broken body of Jesus that went through death and is now resurrected, and him resurrected when you were resurrected, that broken body avail for his physical healing and well-being. I pray that the shed blood of Jesus Christ be that which is sufficient now in this moment in his body for the peace of his heart. I pray, Lord Jesus, that his entire being, spirit, soul, and body, be rested and strengthened, invigorated, that his legs support his body well, that his feet be able to take steps certainly, that his mind function correctly, that all those things that are facing him in the near future be resolved within his intellect according to the wisdom and the will of God, that he know exactly where to place each foot because his mind is in accordance with your revelation. I pray that you bless him in his thinking. I pray that you bless him in his body. I pray that you bless him in his entire being, that he might know the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that he might call you blessed, that he might call you Savior, that he might call you leader, that he might call you deliverer, that he might find the rest of God, his own person, and that he might lie down in that, and in that rest he might find himself strong and strengthened. And may you yourself be pleased and glorified and delighted with this child. In the name of the Most High Living God, who has called us, we do make our prayer. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this little child. I pray that her heart be eased, that the understanding of her mind be rested, and that her little fears be rested. I come against fear. I come against confusion in the name of Jesus. And I declare the finished work. The finished work. Praise the name of God who avails. I thank you for your covenant, and that this child is covered by that agreement of you with yourself, that she is provided for in every instance, that her heart is strengthened and instructed by her father, that her mind is rested and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and that her body is ordered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Can I get that thing over here? Sister May, I pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for who you are. Oh, I thank you for your revelation of yourself. I thank you, my Lord, that you show us yourself as a father, that you show us yourself as a husband, that you show us yourself as a counselor. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, may my sister know you in every one of those qualities. May she know you, oh God, as all that she has need and desire of. I pray, my Father, that your counsel to her be sweet. I pray that her rest be restful. peaceful and easy. I pray that her mind be at ease. I pray, my Father, that those things which frustrate and cause her to ask questions, cause her rest to be disquieted, that the revelation of your faithfulness absolutely swallow up all of those things, that she might see you as the faithful one, that she might see you as the one who cannot fail, the one who cannot lie, the one who has spoken and so it is, that she might rest herself in your person and in your character, and that all of those things which attempt to distress and disturb her and cause her to question, that those things be quieted, and that like that psalmist said, that she quiet herself like a weaned child on her mother's breast, that she lay herself down in the circle of the arm of the Holy Spirit, nestle herself down in God, knowing, our God, that you are faithful, that you will not fail her. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, my sister has suffered great hurt. In the name of Jesus, ease my Father. Heal my Lord Jesus with the tenderness of your own self, with the tenderness of your own compassion. Oh God, my Father, you are the deliverer and you dwell within her in the person of your Spirit. Oh comforter of all comfort, be comfort to her. Hold her close, my Lord. Wrap her up in a blanket of absolute security. May the warmth of the fellowship of the Holy Ghost snuggle her down tight. And Lord, may she find in you her rest and her delight. And may the crooning of her own heartbeat synchronize itself with your heartbeat. And may she find herself at ease within the circle of the arms of God in the midst of all, in the midst of all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen and amen. There is one who I don't know. I won't lay my hands on you. I don't know. But there is one who has questioned, well, Lord, why have you not answered me? You've answered this one and you've answered that one. Why have you not answered me? And the Lord says to you, you have not made yourself available to me. I have waited to reveal my mind and heart to you, but you have kept yourself with the sound of your own life drumming in your ears. You have not submitted yourself to quietness in order that I might reveal myself to you. And the Lord would say to you, come unto me. Come unto me. Step out of where you are. Step out of confusion. Step out of the darkness. Rest yourself in who I am, for I have called you. And all that you have need of, I have gifted you with already. All you need to do is to rest yourself in order that you might hear. Rest yourself in me. Cease from striving. Forsake all that you have given yourself to. For busyness will not satisfy you. Questions will not answer you. If I told you the answer, you could not receive it. It would simply build more questions. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be at ease and at peace when you have separated yourself unto quietness, made yourself available to me. Now, Father, I pray that this one might receive these words, whoever it will apply to, and that they might apply themselves to knowledge and to wisdom in the name of Jesus. And those things that you, this couple, those things that you have desired, those things that you have set your heart on in the name of the Lord for His delight and His joy, the things that you have desired deep in your heart have been placed in you by the Holy Spirit Himself, and He delights in the delight that you have in His delightful desires. He says, commit your way unto me, and I'll bring it to pass. And you've done this, and He has delighted Himself in your desiring Him. For He's placed it in you. And you've been faithful. And you have confessed your complaining and forsaken it. And you've been faithful. And God has counted that faithfulness as a delight and a joy. For He delights to see Himself reflected in His children, and He's the faithful God. He's the faithful God. ebbe non sotro tarassandi non non haileo ne non darò sandro e non lo ti sottrai getri ondo ma sonde o Lord our God. Our heart is toward you, Lord. We lean into the wind, our God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord has desired you. His heart is toward you, O thou who has been taken out of many waters. Waters and the doctrines of men, and you have been plunged into the river of life, flowing out from the sanctuary. Oh, the waters are refreshing you. The waters, oh, thank you, God, for water. Oh, andora mahate setri, dandona manaheo, andona mondo setrion, nendre setrosai, for he is the Lord. For he is your desire, for he has called you for himself, not for you, but for himself. His pleasure is first, his desire is first, his satisfaction and joy is first, and you receive from the outflow of all that he is. For he has set his love on you. Run if you can, run if you will. There's no place to run to. For where will you run from God? And where can you go from him? For he is everywhere. Oh, you run from him into him. And he welcomes you with open arms. Come unto me, come unto me, for I am your desired haven. I am your purpose. I am your meaning. I created you for me. I will have you. You are mine. I will not be denied. I will not be denied, saith the Lord of hosts. My pleasure is that which you were born for, and in me is your completion. Come in to rest under my provision, for I am your desire. Lay aside all that would hinder. Lay aside what drags you down. Lay aside what confuses you. Put your questions out of the way and take me as I am. For I have taken you as you are, and you will never know me except I reveal it to you. And I will only reveal in the quietness, in the silence of your spirit. Come unto me, come unto me, be not afraid, I am your reason for living. I satisfy the longing heart, I fill the life with sweetness. The rough places I make smooth. The frightening things are nothing to fear. For in me you are complete. And in me you are the reason for creation. Rest yourselves, my children, upon the rock that was cleft for you. I am yours. Take of me, take of me, take of me. take of me. But in the taking, understand that I will take of you all that you are. You will not dream of the depths I will take. You do not know the depths you have, and it's all for me. I have desired you, and I will have you. Come unto me, come unto me. I have desired you, come unto me. Terio sande me, getendo se. Have I not spoken? And have you not heard? What does hinder you, my child? What does hold you back? What would keep you from my arms? Our bed is prepared. Our couch is ready. What would keep you from me? For my love is pure and to be trusted. What does keep you? Lay it aside. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. Our Father, how could we choose anything else? And yet we have. And yet we have. Oh Lord. Lord our God. Lord our God, I don't understand how you can be so patient. I don't understand how you can be so long-suffering. I don't understand how your loving kindness can pursue us. But I do know this, that you are God, and you do whatsoever you desire. And your desire is to have us, and so we shall be yours. Thy word has spoken it. Spirit of God, work in us that which enables us to yield to our desire, that enables us to yield to the one that we want above life itself. Work it in us, Spirit of God. For we choose you, Lord. We choose you. Destendo ma corai. Genos tutai letrisetunde menosta. Botastindi costunde belanonosai. Destundai. 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 Gentura satrium numanohasate. Duastonde minosto taco elettra sunde mendro setrion de cotarahai benostarahai. For we've been called. We've been called. We've been called. Our answer is yes. And all of hell itself will not stop the ongoing of the will and desire of our God in His people, for He has sworn by Himself that He will have a people.
Hallelujah.
And we have chosen to be that people.
Hallelujah.
God bring it about to the praise and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.